This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. The governor of New York, the mayor of New York City, the lieutenant governor nominee to be the next lieutenant governor of New York City. All these stories ahead with Harry Siegel of the New York Daily News, a columnist, of the op-ed editor at the Daily Beast. But we begin with Mayor de Blasio, the former mayor of New York. This requires an indication what is and is not considered corruption, what is and is not considered a quid pro quo at the state level, at the city level, at the national level. Harry, a very good evening to you. Mayor de Blasio was much in the news, I believe in his first term, because there was the allegation that campaign contributors to Mayor de Blasio had asked for or were the recipients of favors, but that was not seen as a reason to charge or even fault the mayor for what ordinarily is understood quid pro quo. I'm speaking generally because the facts here are extremely important. What is it that the mayor de Blasio was accused of that now has relevance for us as we tell the story of the state election forthcoming for governor and lieutenant governor and of the present condition of campaign contribution in New York State? Good evening to you, Harry.
Hey, good evening, John. So I'm going to keep this simple and chronological because there's a ton of weeds. But Bill de Blasio takes money as he becomes mayor from a whole bunch of people with business before the city of New York who want things from him. And three of those people, at least, this restaurateur, Harendra Singh, and these two guys from the Orthodox Jewish community, Jonah Rechnitz and Jeremy Reichberg, end up going to prison for, among other crimes, bribing Bill de Blasio. However, Bill de Blasio, who takes these bribes 2013, 14, 15, benefits immensely from the Supreme Court decision in 2016 involving the corrupt, in my view, although his conviction has now been overturned, governor of Virginia, one McDonald, who, along with his wife, was taking gifts, very nice, fancy gifts, from a guy who wanted to do business in that state and was telling his people, you got to meet with them, and so on. The Supreme Court decided none of that constituted an official act. And without an official act, there is no corruption on the part of the public official. So what we're left with is an insane world where the bribe givers go to prison. And the bribe takers, if they're competent and they're personally disciplined, don't even get charged. So the county executive of Nassau, Ed Mangano, who's a Republican, took bribes from the same restaurateur Bill de Blasio did. And him and his wife just got sentenced to prison because she covered things up. And he took all these gifts, got new flooring in his house, got a very fancy vibrating chair, a Rolex watch, things like that. Bill de Blasio did not do any of that. And consequently was never even charged. Now, the lawyer who got him off, one Burke, he is a brilliant guy. Other people may remember him, Barry Burke, from his role as the Democrats' chief counsel at Trump's second impeachment trial. He is now representing Brian Benjamin, who until a few weeks ago was the lieutenant governor, picked from obscurity by new governor Kathy Hochul, who became the governor from the obscure position of lieutenant governor after Andrew Cuomo resigned. She needed a black guy from the city as she was looking ahead to this forthcoming Democratic primary. Benjamin, who was a state lawmaker and then had run very unsuccessfully for controller in the city, he's in a lot of trouble because he did a whole bunch of the same sort of schemey things. Some of them involved straw donors giving matching funds. So this big developer who was in with him, this was all reported, by the way, before Hochul picked him. She picked him nonetheless. He's now been arrested and resigned in disgrace, although he remains on the ticket. So he takes matching funds from this developer. Some of them come from the developer's two-year-old grandson, in theory. And because of New York's campaign finance system, those get matched 6-to-1 or 8-to-1. So every $100 becomes $600, $800. In the meantime, as a state lawmaker, he's getting this guy, this developer, a $50,000 check We're trying to. It's I won't get into those weeds. But there's a big blow-up check for the photo opportunity. The real check is never issued. Burke is now Brian Benjamin's new counsel after he let go of the counsel he originally had, and is going to try to get this guy off on the same, in part on the same, no personal benefit. This was just a lawmaker doing what lawmakers should, and hoping that that'll fly in a post-McDonald world. And just one tiny footnote here. Bill de Blasio, who was not charged, and prosecutors reluctantly announced they wouldn't charge him in 2017, and they said, but he violated the spirit of the law, and this is terrible and not honest governance, that then easily won re-election. He still owes Burke's firm Kramer Levin, which also lobbies the city of New York, something like $500,000. He's done nothing we know of to pay that down. Interest is accruing, and they don't seem too concerned, which is quite the personal benefit for someone who avoided getting charged by the feds on the basis of he didn't personally benefit from the bribes he was taking. So this space between common sense corruption and legal corruption for elected officials has become impossibly large following the Supreme Court decision, and competent politicians in New York and elsewhere are paying close attention to this. And like, if I dot this I, cross this T, I can do things that are corrupt in any common sense definition of the word without getting charged. Benjamin appears, however, to have been sloppy. He also had a big wedding party in Harlem that he paid for with campaign funds, and that Governor Hochul and many other prominent New York figures were at. So he seems like he failed the sloppy test, but anyone competent, this is, here's how you do corruption without getting charged, which is a sad state of affairs, and particularly in a one-party town where elected local prosecutors are never going to go at any of these people. And so it's either the feds or nothing at all.
Complicating this, Harry, is the New York Post reporting that Mayor Adams has an opinion. I read from the report. Mayor Eric Adams is bucking state Democratic leaders who have largely turned their backs on efforts by Governor Kathy Hochul to boot ex-Lieutenant Governor Brian Benjamin from the primary ballot following his recent indictment for an alleged campaign finance scam and subsequent resignation. So let me see if I understand this correctly. Mayor Adams, who is popular and speaks out on these issues, a man whom we understand right now is working very hard to help New York recover, is weighing in on the complicated issue of whether former Lieutenant Governor Brian Benjamin is or is not appropriate to be on the primary ticket, the primary now being delayed until, you tell me, later in the summer. Eric Adams says, no, that's not appropriate. But someone or some group called Democratic leaders are not happy with Mayor Adams. Do I follow that correctly? Adams is saying the right thing, and there are unnamed Democratic leaders who say, no, Benjamin stays on the ticket.
Adams is just trying to do a basic solid to Hochul here, who doesn't need to have her arrested and resigned former lieutenant governor on the ticket with her. However, New York law doesn't have any provision for this circumstance. And so it appears, through all sorts of lawyers digging in and trying to find answers, that the only possible way to get Benjamin off the ticket, if he doesn't choose to move out of the state, is to pass a new law for this circumstance. And, you know, that feels an awful lot like a bill of attainder. And the Democratic leaders in the legislature, who just did Kathy Hochul a whole number of favors in this budget. Well, she's running for a term of her own, and most of the lawmakers are running for new terms of their own, don't feel like they owe her anything further. So as a matter of politics, they're not interested. And as a matter of principle, they're not interested. And as a matter of principle, they're clearly right. Given that, it doesn't appear this is going anywhere. And Mayor Adams has his own issues in Albany, where many lawmakers are annoyed with him and think he's been showboating. They made a point of not extending control of the schools, mayoral control of the schools in the budget deal, making it harder for that to get through. So Adams can say what he likes, and I don't think it's going to have much consequence. And I do think in this incredibly weird, embarrassing election, where elections plural now, is it looks like we're going to have two different sets of primaries, thanks to this Court of Appeals decision we're going to talk about. It seems very likely Benjamin stays on the ticket, and that there's really nothing Adams or Hochul can do about it that's immediately evident.
Has former Lieutenant Governor Benjamin made remarks about going to the people, being vindicated by the vote of the people. I mean, if you're on a ballot on the Democratic column in New York, you have a very good chance of being elected. Is that a fair generalization, Harry?
We have this primary coming up where he'll be one of three names on the ballot for lieutenant governor. He's not running. He's been very quiet. He said through his attorneys that he's not committed any crime and this is outrageous and to happen so close to the election and so on. But he is not continuing to run or to defend himself in the court of public opinion. So unlike, for instance, Andrew Cuomo, who resigned and very quickly returned to claim vindication and that he has more service to give to New York, that Benjamin is not in any way. And Cuomo is doing that as a private figure, by the way. He has a bunch of campaign money, and he says maybe he'll run for something, but right now he isn't. Benjamin is just sort of stuck on the ballot, as best anyone could tell. He's not trying to convince the voters to vindicate him. And that's very hard to do when you have a trial coming up, looming. He's just been quiet. Hochul, by the way, said she didn't even know he was going to be arrested until he was. So it's fairly clear that in the arresting documents, they mention that Benjamin lied to Hochul when he was, filling out disclosure forms for the lieutenant governor job about whether he was under any sort of investigation. So this just seems like an embarrassing mess that isn't going to go away. But given that New York is such an overwhelmingly Democratic state at this point, it's not entirely clear how much of this is going to matter. And the odds are that Benjamin simply loses in this primary. Hochul as a running mate, not exactly of her choosing. But again, the lieutenant governor has no power and is of no consequence, assuming the governor does not resign or get arrested or die. And things just continue apace. That all of this embarrassment, it's not clear to me how it would actually be converted into into real political consequences for any of the players involved.
Translating this, Harry, because if you get back far enough, say about 20,000 miles off the planet, who's in charge in New York State? Is it the governor? Is it the former mayor de Blasio who escaped troubles? Is it Mayor Adams who is trying to clean up New York City? Is it no one? Is everyone looking over his or her shoulder for what my risk is and no one taking charge of presenting to the public a clean bill of health?
I mean, the governor is in charge of New York State. The city is a creature of the state. All of its powers come from the state. The governor here is, even as governors go nationally, simply very powerful. They have tremendous control over the budget process and use that to create laws that then get passed in this sort of big ugly where they get mixed in with the budget instead of legislated separately. And Kathy Hochul is running for re-election, doing so with a very limited track record, and with the embarrassment of her first big decision, the guy she picked for lieutenant governor, which is the position she came from to become governor, so she understands its importance, getting arrested. So Hochul is in charge, but she feels gun-shy, if you will, in certain ways. And that's a complicated dynamic in which nobody is looking to make particularly difficult political decisions at the moment in Albany. And yet the big important decisions are coming up. Instead, we have like sort of backroom deals to get $500 million to the Buffalo Bills to she thinks, Hochul thinks, appeal to, her constituency up there. And a legislature that was willing, and they're upset about it now, but to like roll over and sign off on that and to, unwind a little bit of these bail reform laws, not much, to try to get through this this cycle themselves. So Democrats are in charge. The governor is always in a strong position, but there is a level of incoherence and people like in a sports game where one team is up and they're just trying to play out the clock that you can feel in how Albany is proceeding at the moment. And that's generally not a healthy thing for making long-term decisions or immediate ones as crises come up.
All right, let's get more complicated. Harry Siegel of the New York Daily News, describing to us the intricacies of New York State and New York City's politics. But there's more. The drafting of the reapportionment of congressional seats has been challenged and set aside. When we come back, what does that mean for the power in Albany and the representation of New York to the U.S. Congress? This is CBSi on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.